Junior Stanislas on the ball, heading forward inside the Huddersfield half. With purpose, Junior Stanislas going past everybody.
Hello and welcome to episode 107 of Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast. My name's Sam Davis and it's Monday morning. Hope you've had a good weekend. I reckon some of you might have. Well, we all have, but especially the 1,200 that were inside Dean Court singing JT's name, Freudian slip, and 5-0 against the Terriers. Wow, what a performance it was. Now, on this podcast, we're just going to cut to the chase. No Do You Remember, no trivia, nothing like that. We're joined today by Jeff Hayward and Tom Jordan. Myself and Jeff, we were watching on AFCB TV, but I thought we need to have the views of someone from inside the ground. So that is exactly what we've got. So we're going to be bringing them in about 10 minutes time. Now, if you've been on our YouTube channel, you may know that we did a match day experience vlog. For those of you that haven't seen it, well, you can hear it here. And this is through the eyes of myself and Tom Jordan. Plus, there's a few Cherries fans on the way narrating their match day. And we may have captured a goal or two.
Hi, I'm Michael Botto, making some noise for the boys on Back of the Net.
Good morning. It is match day. Come on. Oh, really looking forward to fans being back in the Vitality Stadium. I'm not going to be one of them, but Tom Jordan is. So we've got a bit of a match day comparison now. It's just gone about half past 10. Go to my local Tesco's Express just to get some provisions for the day. It'll be an AFCB TV day later on. Tom, meanwhile, is waking up with a match day to come at Dean Court. Lucky bastard.
It's early, but it's match day. Got the Jeff on. Oh, sticking to a coffee early doors. Calm before the storm and all that. But, buzzing. I mean, we've got to get down there super early, so I'm going to make sure I get to the boozer early doors, have a beer with a substantial meal, of course, eating to drink and all that. But yeah, gonna do that, then we'll crack onto the ground early doors and see what it's like. Hopefully they'll stick on Home Alone or Love Actually or something, get us in the spirit and all that. But buzzing to see the boys, absolutely buzzing. Shame not everyone will be there, but I'll make enough noise for everyone, I'm sure, under my face mask. So back home, bringing the 3 points back. Come on!
So I've booked my match day pass, all sorted here, and I'm just reading through Twitter, and actually it's making me quite emotional seeing some of these tweets of fans that are really looking forward to getting back into the ground. Sam said, can't wait to watch the boys again. Michael, back at Dean Court, and I don't often talk about how I feel on here, but going back to a place where in the past for a couple of hours I can get away from it all is something I'm really looking forward to. James is buzzing for today, and Damien said, haven't said this in a while, yippee, it's match day. Mike Botto, the announcer, said, whilst it's been a real privilege to be at games during the pandemic, it's felt sterile and soulless for large parts. I can't wait to see folk coming through the turnstiles later. Richard Creese, the Echoes photographer, for goodness knows how long. It's been 41 weeks since I took these photos at the Chelsea game. Looking forward to seeing fans back. James Hicks, on bus on the way to Dean Court for the first time in 9 months, hoping for a Cherries win. Will Tommy Elphick appear? He said, AFCB Rob, the stamp hit massive rise and the first coffee hits the spot. It dawns, our many months of sofa footy ends today. Unbelievable. So good to see people getting back in.
Pub's now imminent. Waiting for my mate and head over to the boozer for a meal and pint. But yeah, weird feeling today. Just went and drove by the stadium and it's just weird. Things are going on already. Still in the morning. And I'm just like raring to go. I don't know how it's going to be. But yeah, I already realised I was all right. I've got everything all sorted, face mask, you know what I mean? And then realised I didn't have my season ticket. So let's grab that. photo ID. There's going to be a lot of, I mean, I just can't imagine it being run too smoothly, but we'll see. We shall see.
So while he's having a beer, I'm having a cup of tea, and I put out a tweet this morning asking for fans' footage, and it is rolling in already. So enjoy the match day experience. You don't want to see what AFCB TV's like, because let's face it, we've all been doing it for too long. So it's AFC Bournemouth versus Huddersfield Town. Over to you guys.
And this voice is Paul Kenwood.
Here we go. First football day of the new season in the Championship. Just started walking on the way to the ground. It's a bit unusual to be leaving a bit early. I only live about 10 minutes from the ground, so for me this is quite an early start.
Meanwhile, in the Brunswick Arms in Chalmerster, Tom sinks another Guinness.
Sun shining. Can confirm I've had my substantial meal. I wonder if I could squeeze another one in.
Now, on the way to the ground is Kirk Tovey with son Owen.
So, this feels weird after nearly 300 days. Get a phone call this morning. AFC Bournemouth. Got a ticket for me. Missed out on the ballot originally. I had some returns. Snap their hand off. Me and the boy are here today. Can't wait. Feel sorry for those that haven't got a ticket. But going to appreciate how lucky I am. Going to enjoy the game today. I'm sure it'll be different to something we've seen before, but we'll take it all in. Got the boy here with me. Score prediction?
2-1 Bournemouth.
Yeah, I said that earlier as well. 2-1. Up the cherries.
Meanwhile, back to Paul Kenwood, who's just arrived at the Vitality.
So it appears I underestimated the queue from the distance, and it's actually wrapped around, and there's probably about 50, 60, 70, 80 people maybe. There's media, there's all sorts out here at the moment. But everyone's in good spirits. Everyone's just looking forward to getting into the ground. But as you can see, there's quite a big queue of people behind me. And it's sort of snaked round so that access can be granted to the car park. So
you know that classic walk from the Chaos Corner newsagent on Ashley Road going past the cricket pavilion across the fields? That's where Tom is at Kings Park.
Walks on. I've actually got a bottle of Coke, so that's risky. I'll let you know if that's been allowed to be taken in. I'm down it as quick as I possibly can. We've got Twixes on the go, everything. We could be in there for 4 hours. So decided that I should be allowed a drink. It's against my human rights otherwise. So look at the walk. There's a field. No old bill on it, so a bit risky. But now I've got a walker here.
Oh my God, here it is. Dean Court for the first time since February. Wow, we're here.
We're in. I don't know what's going on. It's not being part of the Walking Dead. 1 o'clock, for God's sake.
So the players are being applauded by the fans in the stadium as they warm up. And there's Nonny. Teams come out onto the pitch. What a scene. And then it's not long before 1-0. And then 1 becomes 2. Then 3, David Brooks. So the teams go off at half time, and what better time for some Paul Kenwood analysis?
3-0 up after 25 minutes. Dom Solanke on a hat-trick at the moment, which is fantastic. What a game. I mean, the players seem to be responding to the fact that there's fans here. Even the linesman's given decisions that he probably wouldn't have done. Same with the ref. It seems like the fans are having the correct impact here. Looking forward to a good second half. Hopefully we carry on the way we've been going. Dom gets a hat-trick and Brooks should have had a second, but, you know. I'll take 3-0 at half-time, definitely. So, Enjoy the rest of the game.
And they did. It was only four.
Get in! Come on! That's what it means! Get in! Yeah.
And then watching from home, Billy Day enjoys Sam Surridge scoring the fifth. Full time. Not a bad scoreline. Right, let's hear Kirk Tovian Owens' full-time match report.
So today I told myself that it doesn't matter what happens on the pitch today, it's not a time to be critical, but a time to be grateful that we've got the opportunity to watch live football again. Fortunately, the boys put in an absolute blinding performance, dominant display, quality all over the pitch, clinical finishing, 3 points on the board, goal difference improved. So we are happy. What was your favourite goal, Owen?
Probably the Junior Stanislas run.
And your man of the match?
Dom Solanke.
Can't disagree with that. Probably just nips David Brooks. But we are happy cherries here at the Vitality. We're with you all at home. Come on, you cherries.
Well, that was all right, wasn't it? Oh, amazing. Really enjoyed it. It was just great to be back in the stadium and see five amazing goals. Complete performance. See a young lad, 16-year-old, get his debut. Dom Solanke running the line, Brooks, yeah, it was brilliant. And in terms of the club and the way it was run, it was really easy, really smooth. I know it was kind of like a testing one today, but it was easy. So credit to everyone at the club. But so good to be back in there. Can't wait to get more people back in there. But it was a really good feel, and obviously the players delivered. You know, buzzing for JT and all the players. It was great. And great way to start the weekend. But remember, we haven't got a goal scorer. We haven't got someone who can get goals, so that's going to cost us a season, isn't it? Remember that? Yeah? Dub, 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 Solanke.
Oh, absolutely enjoy putting that video together. And if you want to watch it, I advise you do so on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/AFCB podcast. Right then, it's time to bring in Tom and Jeff. Let's go through the game. Jeff, how are you, sir?
Perfect weekend so far.
And me and you were watching from home on AFCB TV. So for a perspective from inside the stadium, we've got pod regular and general nice guy, Tom Jordan as well. Tom, how are you?
I'm brilliant, Sam. Thank you very much.
What a buzzing weekend. Hey, Tom, that must have been, I mean, the highlight of your weekend without doubt. But it's the whole day, I suppose. It's not just the 90 minutes. It's the whole day and just the amazing feeling to be back, surely.
Yeah, definitely. And the players delivered on the pitch as well. So you couldn't ask for much more. You know, 5-0, some unbelievable goals. Arguably our best and most convincing performance of the season so far. Got some youngsters on, a debut for a 16-year-old lad, clean sheet, fans back in. It was literally ticked all the boxes, didn't it? So, it was great. Couldn't have asked for any more.
Any pies, though, Tom? I mean, that's the thing. That was a
blow. We couldn't, if you had booked, I think it was something, if you had booked before, you could get some sort of deal or something, but you couldn't, if you hadn't, you couldn't just go and get food or drink or anything. I logically bought a bottle of Coke before because I thought I'm going to be sat in there for over 4 hours. I want a drink, so I took a bottle of Coke in. That sorted me through. But unfortunately, no pie. But there was enough to look at on the pitch that filled my appetite anyway.
So describe your day up until 2 p.m. because that's where we'll start. It will be the team selection when it comes out through AFC Bournemouth social media channels. But Tom, Jeff was probably doing the same, just having a sort of normal Saturday as it has been over the past, you know, goodness knows how many months, having a cup of tea and just, you know, nervously checking through Twitter just to see the timeline. But for you, how was it different?
I had to like wake up quite early. It was a 3 o'clock game. And I was thinking I need to get up and get sorted here. It was weird. Me and I went with a friend and they said that I was in the Steve Fletcher stand and they said to try and get there between 1 and half 1. Don't know if that's what it's going to be like going forward, but I guess that's due to it was the testing event as well with the first one. Noticed as well that it seemed like the two stands behind the goals were in at that time, and then the main stand, knee stand, come in a lot later. So I wonder if they were maybe told half one till two. I'm not sure, because obviously the two stands opposite are not going to be kind of mixing with each other. So yeah, we had to get there for one. So me and a friend went and got something to eat, substantial meal with my Guinness, of course. Yeah, so just at a point, Brunswick and Charminster, that kind of way, went up there and then walked onto the ground for like I say, one-ish. But it was so smooth, so easy, really. You don't go through the turnstiles. They're kind of a handheld scanner thing. Just scan your season ticket and then they open the big gates and you straight in. But you're in about one-ish and then you've just basically got to sit there till kickoff. So, but it was nice because it was, see, the lad, I was row B, which was like the closest, seeing the lads warm up and stuff. So it was all right to be in there early for this one, definitely.
Was there any interaction, Tom, between you and the players in that sort of warm-up period? Did they talk to the fans at all or come over and say anything?
No, they didn't come over. I mean, I don't know how strict it is in terms of them being able to come over really anywhere. I know there was a few times where you see supporters kind of stop to have a chat with someone they obviously know, another fan, and stewards are kind of moving them on. Can't really stop and talk and mingle that much, just kind of getting in your seat. Like I say, this was the first one, like that testing thing. So I think they were just trying to get everyone in their seat and just ready. It was a good feeling though, because when they're warming up, people are singing a few songs, you know, getting the atmosphere going, which was nice. And obviously the players are clapping the fans and big Fletcher's out there patting his badge and all that stuff. So it was good. It was good.
So you were in the same row as Nonny, and it was brilliant to see some of the videos that have been released with all some fans that I don't know their name, but you just see them every single game, and it is like a big family. But I've got a question, Tom. Having a bottle of Coke, it's a bit risky for me anyway, because 3:20, I'm sat there, I'm thinking, oh, I might need to go to the toilet. What would happen if you needed to go to the loo halfway during the first half, or was it advised you don't, or what?
No, it's fine. You can go to the loo. They did is they kind of had up the stairs. You had kind of one way that was to go up and one to come down, so you didn't go up and down the same. But because I was row B and there was no one in row A,
right.
And I'm right next to the concourse, I said to them, I said, it seems a bit mad for me to go all the way around. And they said, yeah, just hop over. So I didn't, because then I thought, well, I'd have to go past anyone. So my seating was ideal for that. So I've got a bit of a ritual where I have to go down regardless of needing the facilities on 38 minutes. So I done it once and we scored and I missed a goal. And I done it when we played Birmingham. You remember when we went 2-0 down promotion season? And I went down at 38 minutes and I thought, we've blown it. And I remember just going into the cubicle and just sit. I didn't even need the toilet. I just sat there like that, thinking we've blown it. Come out and it was 2-2. So that's it now. That's stuck. So I still went down 38. But yeah, it was absolutely fine. Like I say, they just kind of said that one stairway is to go up and one is to come down. And it was managed pretty smoothly, to be fair. Everyone's, you know, abiding by, you know, what they're being told. So it was quite comfortable, quite easy. Didn't see any real problems. Face masks were on and having a bit of banter with the stewards and things like that. It was fine. It was fine.
And I've got to say, Jeff, I've watched a match with Tom before. Superstition isn't even the word. I mean, he's even got a hat that he makes like sort of everyone in the group touch before the game begins. Like, even if it's 3:00 and I haven't said, you know, the F-bomb a certain amount of times, he's like, Sam, you need to say, I was like, fuck, 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 fuck. I'm like, constantly, just to get all these superstitions out of the way. And, you know, to be fair, I've carried a lot of them into my own kind of watching football during lockdown. So I think it's working, Tom, I've got to say. But sounds like a really good match day experience. And Jeff, I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, I am happy for Tom, but I'm so jealous as well. It sounds amazing.
Well, the last game played there, I had the good fortune to be at the Chelsea game. And that was a long, long time ago. I mean, that was February, wasn't it, last year? Mm-hmm. Oh, February at the start of this year, rather. And it just feels like an eternity that we were back in the ground. So I was so envious. And I thought the great thing watching on TV was the difference it made to the experience of watching it on TV. Just seeing fans there, having the fans singing. Oh, it's fantastic.
It really was. And we all got the team at 2:00 then. And I was just looking through and I thought, oh, you know what? That's probably fair enough. Just, you know, browsing through the subs bench. Hang on a sec. Who's that guy? Birchall, Tom, did you know anything about him beforehand? Because for me, didn't have a clue.
I've always said he should be given a chance. I've always said, I don't know why he isn't getting off. No, I've never heard of him. And you know me, I'd literally feel like I know everything that's needed to know about Bournemouth, if you like. Never heard of the guy. What an opportunity for him. And I guess like JT just saw a spot and thought, you know, rewarded him for his performances in the academy. But I very much doubt if either of JT or the lad thought he'd get an opportunity to come on. And, you know, obviously the way the game was going, that was great that we managed to do that as well. But yeah, like I said, apart from that, it was probably Jack Simpson, wasn't it, obviously coming in. We weren't aware that Meps obviously had a knock and Rico suspended. But to be honest, I know it's difficult for Jack because I think the level of players ahead of him in his role are a lot better. But when called upon in the Championship, I mean, he's been called upon at Anfield and stuff like that in the past, and it's been so hard for him. But called upon in the Championship, I think he's a good centre-half. He'll be out. I was not really concerned. I thought he'd be absolutely fine. So, yeah, was happy and interesting to see Billingkeeper spot as well.
Yeah, so three in the centre and midfield there with Lewis Cook, Jefferson Lerma, Philip Billing, and no Sam Surridge up front, Jeff. I think a lot of us thought he was going to start, but he wasn't to be.
Well, it was interesting what side he would go for. I mean, I did think he would be a back four, particularly with Rico being out. I thought he was likely to play Lloyd at left back, and that would then mean Meps or, as it turned out, Simpson playing in the centre. But I thought the interesting decision was, how could you drop Phil Billing after the way he played in midweek? I mean, you couldn't really. You had to bring Jeff back in, so he was going to go with those three in midfield. I thought Surridge might get in ahead of someone like Stanislas, who was, you know, okay against Swansea, but not brilliant, missing those couple of chances he did. But actually, you know, when you saw it, you thought, that looks pretty solid to me. And so long as he played Lerma and Billing pretty advanced in midfield, which he did, you knew that was going to cause Huddersfield problems.
Yeah, I mean, when we spoke to Matt Tubbs, Jeff, he said that strikers are more in line for of being disposable in terms of being dropped, but also, you know, on the grander scale, being released by a club. And strikers are usually for the chop more than others. Now, you referenced Billing there. He said, you know, he's had a great few games. He can't be dropped. He could have said the same thing about Sam Surridge, but the fact that he's a striker, it means that he's got more chance of not being in the next side, despite the fact he's had an incredible game, maybe.
Well, I wonder if he's playing this sort of system with one focal point up front at the moment. I mean, the time when he played Sam and Dom up front together against Barnsley, we haven't really played that sort of setup at all, apart from that one game. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens, how long Dom can keep going for playing that main role. Three games a week. I mean, it's hard. It's really hard. We've still got, you know, over 20 games to go this season, more than 20, nearly 30 games still this season with the FA Cup games coming in. I think Sam's going to get plenty of game time. I think there's going to have to be some sort of rotation after Christmas because, you know, playing this system is exhausting for the players. So he will get his chances. What's great is that when he comes on and plays, he's got the attitude perfectly right and he scores, and it was brilliant to see him finish it off yesterday.
Yeah, it really was. And we're going to go through the action now. And, you know, start off 3 o'clock. And tell you what, Tom, if we want decent starts, I think that was it. You know, even up until the goal in 7 minutes, we just had this sort of dynamism. Lewis Cook seemed to be running the show. Even Philip Billing was playing with a bit of zip. Lewis Cook and Lerma playing with that extra degree of enthusiasm. I'm absolutely certain that the fans made a difference yesterday.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. It definitely, it's interesting. I afterwards obviously put some highlights on and stuff, and you don't realise how much of a difference it is when you're in there. You know, you think, oh, you really could hear us. But yeah, it was nice. I think it's always been like that. I think you can start games better because the crowd, you've got the crowd there straight away. You don't have to kind of ease into the game. I thought from the off that Huddersfield didn't look bad. I thought they look all right on the ball, actually. This could be an interesting game. But every time we got the ball, I thought they can't cope it. You know, I didn't think they could cope with us when they didn't have it. And I thought Jeff in particular early on was kind of more on that right side, was really bombing on getting forward. He obviously, with Billing and Lewis in there, you could see he was given a real licence. And he was involved in all three of the opening goals, wasn't he? You know, just getting forward and giving them options on that right. And most of our play was coming from that right side early on. But it was a really good start. And like I say, we looked so dangerous every time we got the ball.
And Big Jeff, I mean, like you say, involved in that first goal. It was Huddersfield that were forced into a mistake. And let's be fair, it was a rotated Huddersfield side as well, by the sounds of it. I mean, there was a player, Aaron Rose, who had, Chris Temple said, had one league minute this season, which, you know, you're sort of looking at it thinking, well, maybe the writing was on the wall before kickoff. I don't know. But yeah, going back to that chance on 7 minutes, it was Lerma who forced the ball and won the ball, fed David Brooks, and Solanke was sort of running diagonally away from the goal, took a touch with the outside of his right foot to sort of set him up on his left. And as he bared down on the keeper, a little dink. Jeff, what a finish.
What a finish. Well, Tom and I were just talking about it, saying, you know, earlier in the season, he might have just blasted that. And to have the confidence to dink it as he did, brilliant skill. Brilliant skill. I also thought what was really interesting in the build-up, we've been frustrated at the number of soft free kicks that refs seem to give in the Championship. Maybe it's just refs generally. But when that guy went to ground, anticipating Lerma's challenge, and Lerma doesn't touch him, he just sort of falls over. I mean, I was laughing when I saw that. And it was just wonderful to see the ref play on, because it wasn't a foul. Jeff makes a good pass into Brooksy, and a lovely pass again from David Brooks, who I think, again, yesterday, he's coming back. Every game he's looking better and better. Really great.
Tom, how loud did it sound when that goal went in? Because I can imagine it. I mean, was there a bit of echo? Was it slightly different? Or did it actually sound pretty, you know, pretty high decibel?
Yeah, it sounded really loud. It didn't, I don't know, because it's been so long. It just felt like kind of normal when a goal goes in there. And obviously it isn't, because you've got so many fouls and less. But yeah, that's what it felt like. And it was just nice to be able to scream when a ball went in. But yeah, it was a lovely finish. And he'd done it in front of a fair amount of supporters, which was great for him. But yeah, really good goal. And like I say, it seemed to, and then we just seemed to kick on from there. Once we got that goal, then it got even more vocal. Do you know what I mean? The fans got into it, and the players just seemed to lift themselves even more from that. And it was, yeah, we just carried on from there. I don't think we ever looked back after that goal, to be honest.
No, and I think, you know, David Brooks started off, you know, pretty well, and he's won the Player of the Month, is it, in the EFL or something like that? And you know, I thought he was good last month, but you know, he's got a lot more to give. So for him to win that award, then, you know, when he's on form, you know, he'll be winning it 10 times over. But I thought with that first goal, the speed at which the ball was played to Jefferson Lerma, David Brooks, it was very, very interesting what he did. He just took a slight touch, but he didn't stop the momentum of the ball. He kept it moving on. And that helped us to kind of not break the play, because, you know, like if you take like too much of a heavy touch, people manage to get back. But he didn't. It was almost Lallana-esque, I've got to say. And yeah, what a finish by Dom. And we just carried it on and carried it on. Now, at the back, I think players were pretty much on form as well. And there was a strong save from Begovic on about 11 minutes or so. It was a left-footed shot from distance from Bakuna. It was slightly deflected off Simpson, actually, but palmed wide to the right. So, you know, whilst all our focus is on attack, Jeff, one of our things that we always used to do is take our foot off the gas, you know, defensively, but still really resolute back there.
I have no problem saying I was wrong. I'm a bit like Kurt Tovey, right? Asmir Begovic, I thought his days as a keeper last season, I thought he was going to be out of the club. What a genius decision it has been to have him as Aaron Ramsdale's replacement. Stepped up, brilliant save. I'll also go on the record and say, Phil Billing, I was wrong. If you play like that every game, you are a superstar. So let's keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. And look, this is very early to say after, what, 17, 18 games, whatever it is. Is it, you know, Begovic's decision-making, it seems to be really good. And arguably, so far this season, it's better than what Ramsdale's was. Would that be an unfair assumption, Tom?
No, I don't think it's unfair. I think Asmir's come in, and I think it's hard to make too many comparisons in terms of where we were when Ramsdale was here. You know, a team that were under the cosh a lot, low on confidence, losing the majority of football matches. And he was coming under more pressure. I think what Asmir's doing really well is we're controlling games, but he's not switching off when he's called upon. He's virtually in every game. Like I said yesterday, yeah, we win 5-0. So, you know, it was easy in that sense. But he still made a crucial save at a crucial point in the game. I think that's what he's doing really well. What I did notice in the game was being there, was how vocal he is. He is so vocal. Wow. Him and Steve Cook. Steve Cook was excellent in terms of being next to Jack Simpson as well. Really, you know, when Jack maybe gave the ball away, you could hear him saying, basics, 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 like don't overplay it, blah, blah, blah. But as it was so loud, I mean, I don't even think he stopped. I didn't realise how vocal he was and organising all the way through. Even when the ball's up with Dom Solanke, he's telling the defenders where to be, you know, really, really good. And I think people underestimate the fact that he's, you know, he's been to World Cups. He's played at the highest level. And he's very experienced. And I think that's something that I wonder if in the dressing room and things like that, we've probably not got loads of leaders, if you like, lost people like Frano, Daniels, Sermon. I think he's probably stepped up and taken that mantle on as well as Steve Cook. That was very noticeable yesterday, definitely.
And, you know, even not long after that, there was another shot from Danny Ward where he sort of pirouetted and he had a strike low, but Begovic saved to his right, and then he sort of collected the loose ball afterwards, and I thought it was phenomenal. But between that, Big Jeff, right on it again. And I'm going to come to Big Jeff for your analysis of that goal, because he won the ball off the Huddersfield defence, who were playing silly 1-2s at the back. And, I mean, the goal was simple, really, but his influence was amazing, Jefferson, throughout the whole game.
I think... There aren't too many teams that try and play out from the back in the Championship. A lot of them tend to prefer to just lump it forward. Those that do, and Huddersfield were one yesterday, I mean, they were completely done by the pressing that we gave them. I thought was really high quality. I thought the fact that they made six changes, you know, the defence looked like they'd never met, let alone pass the ball to each other. So what that centre-half was doing, passing the ball straight to Jeff, I mean... It baffling, but fantastic, because zipped it straight in. Wonderful, wonderful goal.
That defender who gave the ball away, I said to a Huddersfield fan that I'd done a preview for it, and I said, you know, had a little chat with him about the game. And I said, I've never seen the guy before. He was awful. He was, the amount of times he air kicked, he couldn't even kick, half the time, he couldn't even kick the ball. He was useless, that bloke. And I didn't realise how many changes they made. And when I spoke to the Huddersfield fan, he said in one of the manager's interviews or conferences or whatever, he was virtually saying along the lines of, well, we ain't going to beat Bournemouth anyway. So this is kind of the chance to give someone, it's a bonus game, it's a free hit. Do you know what I mean? Which is mad. I can't believe people are saying, but it's like with the Man City. Do you know what I mean? But that seemed to be why they made so many changes. They kind of thought, even playing everyone, we're probably not going to get anything there. But yeah, and I think most of their changes were in the back line, and you could see that. I think the fullbacks were both not played many minutes, and you could definitely see that. They could not cope. I feel really, I mean, to give young fullbacks their first go against people like David Brooks, I just think that is arse, do you know what I mean? If they're going to get judged on that. But yeah, what they were doing playing it out there, I do not know. And Jeff, as always, is there. I mean, I'm running out of Jeffs. We've got Jeff Hayward here, Jefferson Lerma, Jeff Mostyn. I mean, Jeff, it's just, if I ever have a kid, Jeff.
Oh, it's got to be.
So proud, Tom. So proud.
You're my third favourite Jeff, though. That's the only problem.
One Jeff that I'm not a fan of is Jeff Stelling, because I missed the Super Six this weekend, so I've got 0 points. But that, you know, that was my own fault. But Huddersfield, right? It wasn't so long ago that they were in the Premier League, and they're thinking this already. Is it imperative that we get promoted at the first time of asking before we almost have this like psychological stance that they have when whoever gets relegated from the Premier League this season comes down? Because we could be like, well, we're not beating them.
No, I was just going to say they were missing their best player, Schindler, who I think played in the Premier League. He's a quality player and would have strengthened that defence beyond belief. Alex Pritchard was a good player when he played for Brentford and played for Huddersfield. You know, he was playing yesterday. But I don't know. It was weird that I felt like you, Tom. It felt like they'd conceded the game before it even started yesterday, and you could tell the players weren't really at it. Having seen us lose to Preston as well in our previous home game, you'd have thought they'd have been much more up for it. But there was no game plan. That manager is in his first season. Don't know much about him, but he might not make it to the end of the season if that's the way he approaches games, because that performance spoke volumes. I mean, when was the last time you saw a goalkeeper subbed at half time?
it was really bizarre. I mean, like I said, when I spoke to the Huddersfield fan, he did mention straight away about Schindler, and I thought, yeah, he was pretty solid for him in the Prem. They'll miss him. But the way he spoke about it was kind of like, oh, yeah, we're well happy with 12th. And I was thinking, and like almost like they would have been happy with safety this year. And I was thinking, but you were in the Prem not long ago. And they've lost played obviously, Billing. They've lost Moy. They've lost that Carlin Grant, who went to West Brom. They've lost some good players. And he just said, we haven't replaced any of them. They're just bringing some youngsters through. But they're almost like they just thought, we've had our time in the Premier League. But I was very surprised when I said, you know, I expect Huddersfield to be decent. And he was kind of, oh, if we stay up. It was quite bizarre because I just didn't. Obviously, I don't know loads about Huddersfield, but like you say, Sam, it wasn't long ago they're in the Premier League smashing us 4-1. You know, Yeah, it was bizarre, and I did think at times, like you mentioned, Jeff, thought Pritchard looked all right on the ball. I think if he was in a team like ours, I think he'd really benefit. I think he's quite a good footballer. He just didn't have the players around him, and I thought they looked tidy at times, but they just as soon as they lost the ball, they couldn't get near us. But yeah, weird one that they just seemed to almost throw in the towel, I felt, so early.
Jeff, do you almost think that there's less of a burning desire to get in the Premier League once your facilities are there? Because they moved into the McAlpine as it was then in the sort of mid-90s, and it's a stadium that's still, you know, pretty good and it's befitting for them, and they've got a decent training facility. So to all intents and purposes, they don't need to, whereas I think we need to, because we need to expand the stadium. We need to build our training ground and our academy. Do you think that's maybe what they're thinking? Like, well, we're quite content. Let's just settle the Championship football.
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know what's going on at their club. They felt to me that they're in a bit of a transition time between management and players. And it's interesting when you compare them to us. I mean, they got relegated and they're now trying to bring some young players through, blood in some of those. They've lost a lot of their real quality players, but it feels like that squad was invisible compared to the team we last played in the Premier League. I mean, two or three players maybe max turned out against us. And what we're doing, I think, is quite interesting. You know, we tried to transition the team over last season as the season was going on, and it didn't quite work. We never really quite found what was our ideal lineup. Yeah. But now, I don't know about you, but I feel so excited seeing all those youngsters coming through the ranks, being given their chances. And the bulk of the squad is together, but it feels like there's a real energy amongst our team and belief that we can get back. And I didn't see that at all from Huddersfield. And I'm not sure whether that's because they've now been down a couple of seasons. Maybe they just are comfortable with the status quo. Maybe they don't have that same sort of ambition or appetite from within the club to get back.
Yeah, I think, and you're right about having the excitement about the youngsters at AFC Bournemouth, and there are a lot of seasoned and experienced brains in that side, leaders like Steve Cook. You've got Junior Stanislas, people that have been there and done that. They've been at the club for a long time. They know what it's all about. They know Championship football inside, you know, out as well. Even Lewis Cook, even though he's still young, he can help those kind of lads. And a player that is, you know, one of our best players is Jeff Lerma, Tom. And I'm sure they're learning from watching the way he's playing. But once again, instrumental in that third goal. Do you want to talk us through it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the second goal was the only one he'd be down with an assist. But like I mentioned, he in all three of them first goals, he was largely involved. And I think he just kind of broke down that right side. Like I say, he was definitely over to that right side more and just dinked the little ball in. But the way, I think it hasn't been talked about enough, the way Dom brought it down at the Sky was just beautiful. I mean, it wasn't an easy one to just bring down control, and then he just set it for Brooksy, and what a finish. I mean, I think Brooksy probably should have got a few more, actually, and he hit another one wide a bit later on and things like that. He took that one perfectly. I mean, the keeper didn't even move. And, it was just, he picked that one out kind of thing. But, yeah, them three, and then especially in that first half, Lerma, Brooks and Dom were just, it was a real nice little triangle at times. They were all giving each other chances. But, yeah, Jeff was just constant as always, and I just don't see that. I mean, he played 90 minutes again. He was right back, right wing back, centre midfield, attacking midfield. He's just everywhere, that guy, absolutely everywhere. And yeah, I was really, really pleased to see him really involved from an offensive display as well. Like, he's doing that all season now. He's showing that he's not just doing that role because he can press so well. He's actually got the quality to, you know, get an assist and be involved in their movements. So that was really good. And at that point, I thought this scoreline could be anything, you know.
Yeah, especially with Brooks in the form that he was in. He sort of used the defender as a shield, and then, yeah, put him into the corner, the keeper couldn't move. And then on about 23 minutes, I think David Brooks did this like worldy of a manoeuvre. I think Jeff played Brooks in. He sort of shifted his body weight, and he glided effortlessly past the Huddersfield defenders, and then did a did a pirouette and approached the byline. Sadly, his cross didn't result in anything. But Jeff, we're all thinking that's the David Brooks we know and love.
I mean, it was Sam Davis in his pomp. I mean,
well, yeah.
I still don't understand quite what he did, but I just thought he beat the player. The defender was left for dead, and yeah, I mean, he was tormenting that Huddersfield midfield and rear guard in that first half. And yeah, what can you say? He's getting better and better. We've got to keep him in January, keep him with the club. He's on a long contract with us because I think getting back in the Premier League, we need David Brooks to be in our Premier League team.
Mm. And then as Tom alluded to, he had that shot that went wide that he probably should have done better with, really. He won a free kick in the injury time in the first half, which Stanislas whipped across. Tom loves a whippy cross, and that's what happened there. The keeper did well with by palming it away, and we went off 3-0 up. I was really surprised, Jeff, when the iFollow stats came up, though, saying that Huddersfield had 51% possession. It didn't feel like that at all.
Didn't feel like that at all. I mean, every time we went forward, it looked like we were going to score. Seriously, I thought Steve Cook was going to score from that free kick right at the end as well. You know, really unlucky. We were just all over them, and I think we could sit back a little bit and just let them try and pass through us, and they just weren't good enough to do that. So every time we broke on them, I thought we were going to score.
I think that's what it is with possession stats, isn't it? I mean, it was clear they had a fair bit of the ball, but like Jeff alluded to that, it was almost like we went, actually, it suits us, you have it. As soon as we get it back, we're in. And virtually 100% of the time when we had the ball, we created something, we made something happen, we looked like we could score. Virtually every time they had the ball, they didn't look like they were doing anything with it. And we almost like lulled them into a false sense of security if they were playing quite well and knocking the ball around. And we were just almost, it almost looked like we were just waiting for our moment, and then it was just bang, 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 we're away. We didn't need to play 10 passes to try and get a shot away. We could do it within three, do you know what I mean? And I think that's where stats like that kind of, you know, don't read the whole story, because we actually battered them and they're 51% possession, do you know what I mean? But yeah, I think that's what was so good about us. We didn't, sort of like Man City at the weekend, obviously in that 0-0 draw, and they had so much of the ball, but they just didn't do anything. They're just knocking it around like aimlessly. And and you know, there's got to be something that comes at the end of that possession. And that was what was so good for me, is there's been a few games where we've knocked it around in front of a defence and not really gone anywhere. But we always looked like we could get in behind and cause problems. And yeah, that's what we've done the whole half.
There was a lot of confidence, I thought, yesterday from the defenders to actually bring the ball forward. I think you saw that from Lloyd Kelly was really good going forwards. Adam Smith was spending a lot of time forwards, and that was from a more orthodox back four. But also, Jack Simpson did a fantastic break through the middle in the end of that first half, you know, beat about three players. And Steve Cook in the second half did the same, you know, bringing the ball out, running the length of the pitch. And when our defenders do that, I think that again shows you just how well we're playing. But also you need that sort of bravery, because otherwise it can feel a bit sterile, that you're just passing the ball on the back four for possession rather than, you know, being brave and going forwards and taking some of their midfielders on.
Yeah, and there were little incidents that happened during the game, these little kind of nuggets of action that sort of wouldn't really be picked up. But Jack Simpson, in the second half at some point, some silky footwork on the left flank. And you know what? When you're watching those kind of matches behind closed doors in the Premier League where Sky Sports are putting their fans on, you know, you don't get to hear the crowd cheers at those moments, because you hear, it's almost like white noise. And, you know, even when you watch a match on TV at Old Trafford with 78,000 fans in, you still hear these isolated voices in amongst the sort of general fervour. Whereas with fake noise, you know, like you don't hear it, and it's almost like a background lull. But I really enjoyed these little hey moments when people were doing that, and almost the ironic cheer when Steve Cook did that world ever run and he just overran it at the end. And that's one thing that I just really enjoyed. And I was excited because the Bournemouth fans would have been excited, and, you know, like everyone would have been smiling at that point. Now, Philip Billing in the second half, I thought, had a great game. I mean, I thought he had a first half. There was this like silky turn at one stage where Lewis Cook played the ball through to him and he just like turned on the spot and set up another counter-attack. And then he cut in on the right flank and reached the byline, cut the ball back. It did reach a Terry's defender. But then on the left flank, he managed to fire in a low shot that was easy to deal with. What has changed, Jeff? What's gone on with Philip Billing? It's amazing.
There was a great interview on Solent yesterday, which I'd urge everybody to listen to. It got played before the AFCB TV commentary started yesterday. And I think we forget, right? Players are human beings. It sounded to me like he's got some personal stuff going on or been going on that's affected him. And, you know, we think they're machines. We look at every game, we think, right, that's what you got to do. It's easy. Come on, you just got to do that better. And Billing's case, move the ball faster, you know, get forward more, blah, blah, blah. But they're not robots. And I actually felt quite sorry. He's obviously been stung a lot by the criticism as well. So, you know, maybe we just need to recognise that and cut a bit of slack, because the last three games, actually, since Barnsley, he has been excellent. He's great at breaking up the ball, breaking up their play going forwards. His legs are so freaking long that, you know, he gets his feet in where you don't expect it, and the opposition don't expect it either. And that was so useful for us yesterday. But also, it's just his distribution going forwards, much more positive. His mindset is he's much more on it, and I think he needs to be playing that forward position in the midfield. I mean, we were just such a good unit, though. It's unfair to single out individuals, because the team functioned and gelled the best I've seen this season yesterday.
Yeah. And Billing's definitely better, a little bit more advanced. I remember when he had that good game when he scored, I think it was against Villa, which was the big win in the Premier League, and he was that little bit more advanced and just gives him a little bit more of a licence. But like Jeff said there, it was great to see him just playing with a smile on his face, to be honest. He seemed to be really enjoying it, and I don't see that a lot from Billing. Because he looks laboured sometimes, and maybe things haven't been going well for him, he almost looks like he's a bit disheartened, and it was really good to see him. He looked like he was enjoying his football. Like Jeff said, with his long strides, he's just like wandering, but you just think he's just walking past people. It's brilliant. But I'm really pleased for him, and I think credit to JT as well. He gave him the opportunity when Lerma was suspended. He played, he performed, and he's gone, well, you're staying in then. And I think, you know, that's what Billing will know now, that, hang on, I come in, I scored a goal, and I played well, and now I'm playing. So, you know, I've been rewarded. So I think he knows now, you know, if he plays like that, he can. But definitely, I think with Lewis's role as well, with Jeff everywhere in and around him, it gave him a bit of a licence. And I don't think any of us have ever said that he hasn't got technical quality. It's just been, sometimes you think, like you say, the tempo of it, and he looks a bit laboured, and can't just give us a bit more. But I think the frustration has been because we know he's a good player. Like, we wouldn't be as frustrated if we think he's just not good enough. We know he is, so it's great to see him performing well, and I'm chuffed for him, really am. And he's, if he can keep this up, we've got another player who will almost be like a new signing if he keeps hitting these levels. So chuffed for him.
Just one more thing on that, Sam, actually. How many times last season did we talk about the players feeling like it was square pegs in round holes, where if we played Billing and Lerma together, they were the sort of defensive midfielders, and it didn't feel like either of them was really given the opportunity to go forward or play a more advanced role. When Lewis Cook used to play, he was the more advanced midfielder, and it would either be Lerma or Billing sitting behind him. But now we've totally flipped that, and it feels that the dynamic for the team is so much healthier as a result.
Yeah, completely. And I just love those little moments, as I say, where he turned and the fans, were cheering him on, and they were cheering him off as well, because Brooks and Billing came off and Gosling and Surridge came on. Before that, Dom Solanke had a chance where he cut in on his left. It fired a low shot just wide of the post. And also Lloyd Kelly was in the thick of the action. I think Toffolo looked to be through on goal, but great defending with a last-ditch challenge from Lloyd. We seem solid all over the pitch, and there's not many games where you can say that. Even the 4-0 at Barnsley, we looked vulnerable at the back, and had they been more clinical, they weren't. In terms of our clinicality, Jeff, I've seen a stat that we're actually top of the clinicality league. I think we need to call it that.
Wow.
Back in the net. But, you know, it's good to see. And then, we made changes. And, as I said, Gosling and Surridge came on. Now, Dan Gosling was in the thick of the action for goal number four. Tom, Junior Stanislas, he picks it up on the left flank. He runs inside, and you know, at that point, what are you thinking? Talk us through the goal.
I remember him picking up the ball and thinking, go on then, give it. All right, shoot. So what are you getting? You know what I mean? It was unbelievable. And the last time I remember doing that was away at Fulham with Brett Pittman. So yeah. I turned to my mate, and instead of saying that was Messi-esque, I said he turned into Brett there. But what a run. I mean, we know he's got that close control, but he just kept going. It was brilliant. Defenders didn't know what to do. But I think that's one of them goals that if that's scored kind of by a Messi or something, that's on loop for a week. Do you know what I mean? I think Lewis looks like he might get the goal of the month for last month. I think that could be well up there. What a goal. Absolutely brilliant. And I was really chuffed for Junior, because I think sometimes when you like Brooks and Dom are getting a lot of, you know, rightly so, getting a lot of plaudits when we're... I think Junior goes a little bit unnoticed because I think he's really intelligent footballer. He picks up little pockets really well. And sometimes he gets the ball and just makes like a one-touch pass. And it's not really noticed, but it was a really clever bit of movement. And he also, what I will say is in that first half, he helped out a lot defensively as well. He was back there a lot. When we were kind of, when we were not really under pressure, but when we were just clearing the ball, it was often Junior. And his work rates, I would have thought if you were playing kind of left back, left centre back, you'd be really happy that Junior's there, because he puts in a real shift. And like we've always said about him, it's just keeping him fit in there, because we know the quality he's got. But yeah, chuffed with him to get on the score sheet as well. And it was a beautiful goal. I mean, I didn't even realise who gave him the ball. I couldn't think of an assist. It was just felt like Junior had it forever.
I think it was then, Roy Kelly, actually.
Was it?
Yeah, so...
But, yeah, what a run and what a finish. He was nearly on the halfway line, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, there are some people that have been saying, well, you know, anyone could have scored that. Really? It was at the parting of the Red Sea. Jeff, do you agree with that?
Junior's a special talent, and I agree with Tom. You know, sometimes he does get a bit overlooked. He's got a lot of skill. You hear that a lot of the other players will always talk about him being one of the most talented in the squad, if not the most talented with the ball at his feet. And I think he showed it yesterday again, that sort of bravery to dribble rather than just look for an easy pass. Fantastic. I think it was in that one, there was a bit of build-up play on the other side between Lerma and Dom as well that sort of started the move going, where you thought, you know, that sort of competition and will to win the ball and not give it up was an important facet of the play yesterday, you know, bringing that same intensity to the game. And yeah, you know, fantastic world-class finish, but Huddersfield's defensive play was appalling. So
yeah, I don't want to mention him too much, but you know, the way that Ryan Fraser in his prime used to just run recklessly.
What are you doing?
He used to run recklessly, and he didn't really care what was in front of him. And that's what Junior Stanislas did. It was his moment. He was so quick and so fast, and his momentum. So that's scary to play against when you've got that. But a couple of things that have maybe been slightly overlooked. When you get the chance to see the extended highlights on AFCB TV, there's an angle from behind the goal in the north stand. And there are two runs from left to right as you're looking at it. So they're running from the east stand to the main stand. From Dan Gosling, who brings a player with him and creates that space. And the same by Sam Surridge, who just grabs hold of a shirt. He almost manhandles his marker a little bit in order to make it easier for Junior to run through and notch. But yeah, credit to Junior. At the end, his footwork, you know, just enabled him to get that chance. And yeah, really, really good finish. And it wasn't long after that, Tom. It was two. So nice to see Sam Surridge score, eh?
Oh yeah, brilliant. I was chuffed for him. He scored a few now, but apparently none in front of our fans, do you know what I mean? Which was really nice touch. And it was two substitutes combined, wasn't it? Goss played him in really well. And I did think that when we made the changes. Huddersfield, you know, were obviously, they'd lost the game. They looked shattered. We were on to them every time. And then you bring in someone like Gosselin, you must think, oh, because he just doesn't stop running, does he? And just niggling away all the time. He'd done that as soon as he come on. I thought he was great. And I think when you've got these young players coming through and really good technical footballers, when you've got Gosselin running around with them, it's really nice. He's going to play a massive part in this squad without starting too many games. He's going to be vital, I think, Gos. So I was really pleased to see him come on and cushion the ball nicely into Surridge, and really nice first take finish. And he looked, you could see when he jumped up, he was just like, get in there, scored in front of the fans and come straight on and ask what, you know, done what I've been told to do, just come on and make an impact. And he keeps doing that. So I was, chuffed from him. And like you say, I think it was Dom who played in Gosling, and Surridge really drew the defender in and out really well. And then, finish beautifully. So that was icing on the cake, really, for Surridge to come on and get a goal, definitely.
Absolutely. It is goals per minute ratio, as Chris Temple said, is phenomenal, Jeff. I mean, it's probably one of the best in the Championship. Not played many minutes, but my God, he knows how to hit the back of the net.
How lovely it is to have two natural finishers playing striker for us, eh?
Yeah, that was why we weren't going to go up, wasn't it? We didn't have a natural. We need a striker. We ain't got a natural striker.
Suddenly we got two, Tom. Suddenly
just a cup, yeah. Solskjaer can stay at home if he wants.
I thought, you talk about that. I mean, Josh King probably will be moving on, almost certainly moving on. I don't think we're going to miss him with the quality that we've got with Sam and Dom up front. And also, I thought what was great was seeing other players coming off the bench as well with real energy to make it six or seven. Raquelme was really unlucky, but looked a real quality talent going forwards. As indeed did our 16-year-old who found out he was playing when he was at the barber's chair.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that story, but that's amazing. But yeah, like you say, Roro, I think Lewis Cook nearly played through Adam Smith with the ball of the season. However, it was cut out by the Huddersfield defender, but Jefferson Lerma then managed to capitalise and then played Roro through a goal. And he managed to create space to fire a right-footed shot, but it went straight towards the keeper. I think we want to turn a corner of that. And Lerma, I just thought he was so industrious throughout. And then later on, he played a square ball to Gosling. He sort of swept home a shot that it was easily gathered by the Huddersfield goalkeeper. But then, as you say, Ajani Birchall came on, the youngest player that's ever played for AFC Bournemouth. And also Zamora on as well. And Stanislas and Smith made way. I mean, the future's bright, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, it's brilliant. And I think what's interesting is, I've been one to do it as well, is sometimes you look at the substitutes bench when we've got a few injuries and think, well, actually, are we a bit thin here? You know, a few more injuries. Yeah, it'll be cool. But then you soon realise that actually Surridge is all right to be called upon, you know. Look at, you know, since he's been called upon, brilliant. And then you forget that, like, off the ball was crucial to Wickham's promotion. And I think he would get in a lot more teams than we realise. Not as young anymore, but you see Jack Simpson come in when we've got a few knocks. He'd get in most defences in the Championship, in my opinion. I've seen little bits from, like, Jay Nantley, Roro Raquelme. You think, actually, they would probably get a lot of minutes for other Championship sides. I don't think it's easy to say the squad looks thin, but are they actually just quite good at this level? Yeah. I think we've got some good talent there. And, yeah, to Zamora, great to get him on. We've seen him in the Cup, haven't we? But not in the league. And obviously, he's had international caps for Zimbabwe since, which is great. And he had a little half chance, did he? When he just seemed to, like, see the headlights and seemed to panic a little bit. But, and I think Birchall played a nice little ball through at one point as well. Great to see. And, yeah, it was the icing on the cake, wasn't it? That fans are back, you know, and you've got to bring them guys on. I thought, will he bring him on? And that was brilliant from JT. I thought he'd done that really well. And it shows the confidence he shows in them as well. You know, because you want to still keep a clean sheet. Do you know what I mean? You don't want to kind of near the end of the game concede a couple of goals and win 5-2 and think, oh, we didn't end the game very well. But he's obviously got that much confidence in them type of players to just chuck them on and know they could do a job. And I never thought, you know, you end in the game with, like I say, Zamora, Birchall, Raquelme, but they all look so hungry. We didn't look any weaker. And I think Jeff alluded to it a few times. What was great throughout the game is the game was done at half time, but we didn't look like a team that were just keeping the ball and just going for the motions. We were so bitey, like trying to get the ball back. And you think, you know, like it was almost like we needed another goal. The pressing and how the high energy it was. I mean, Smithy's just running down that right in, you know, with like 10 minutes to go. And you're thinking, you don't have to do that, Smithy. The game's won, mate. But the hunger and the team spirit there was brilliant. And like you say, getting some of the youngsters off the bench was the icing on the cake and really good for the academy lads. Brilliant.
And you know what I've said on previous podcasts and on free-for-alls and stuff, I thought that we were only a few games away from absolutely battering a team. And ironically, despite the fact we scored five against Huddersfield, I think it could have been more of a battering because I felt like, yeah, it could have been six or seven, but that was it. It was a complete performance in many ways, a big confidence boost for the lads. And Jeff, I know the Championship's a league where you can look at previous results you've had against teams and compared to how they're doing now and think, well, that was actually quite a good result. Yes, in the Championship where everyone beats everyone, you know, people are doing that all the time. But with the result in mind, with fans back in the stadium and what they gave us, because obviously the team, they just played with an extra 20% or whatever. Could you look back at our 1-1 at Middlesbrough where they had 1,000 fans and actually think to yourself, that wasn't a bad result. I mean, yeah, they were flying high. Well, I mean, they're flying high now. I mean, they dropped off a little bit, but that as well, you know, that's another factor to put into it because, you know, we dominated them yesterday.
Yeah, it definitely makes a difference. Even more so, I think, in our ground, you know, it's a smaller ground, 2,000 fans. That's only 20% of the stadium, whereas Middlesbrough, I don't know what the Riverside's like, has 30,000 capacity and 1,000 fans, and you know, completely different proportions. So I do think that makes a difference. It is in our favour. Having said that, I think, you know, we're also going to go to some fairly tight grounds in the next few weeks. It'll be interesting to see how we get on at Luton because, you know, they got a stunning result against Norwich a few weeks ago at home. You know, it's not going to be easy. So, and we need to be putting this team under the sort of pressure in those away games where they are playing against vocal fans to just see how they stand up. Because when we do get back in the Premier League, you know, don't want to be arrogant at all, but hopefully we're on the way to that. And, you know, we're going to need to face hostile crowds again. And, you know, it's going to be different for us. So there's a few interesting games coming up. One thing I'd also like to say about the game yesterday, it was one of those matches where you feel the players didn't want the game to end. You know, we wanted 7, we wanted 8, we wanted more goals. And I think the next game coming really soon on Tuesday, Wickham, I mean, I'm super excited that we'll get a similar level of performance. If the players can keep that buzz going from Saturday, you know, we're in for another treat, I think.
Yeah, I think that's key as well, like you're saying about the fans, Sam. Like, we just alluded to it there. I wonder if it's, you can't ever tell, but I wonder if there weren't any fans in there and we would say 3-0 up. I wonder if we'd have just won the game 3-0 and, like I say, just kind of kept the ball. And almost when you got the fans there, it made them a little bit more, you know, biting. You're cheering every tackle and things like that. And like you said about the Middlesbrough game, I remember watching that and they were just chucking balls in the box. And I felt like it was almost their fans were getting, come on, and they just kept putting balls in the box. And it kind of draws you in. It's like a magnet, isn't it? They were coming. And so, because we were 1-0 for a long time in that Borough game, weren't we? And it felt like one where if they didn't have supporters, maybe we could have hung on. You never know. But I think that's a good point from Jeff. If Luton have a few fans, that would be interesting. It'd obviously be interesting as well with when the tiers get reviewed, because we've probably got as good chance, as probably a better chance than Eddie, of dropping the tier and getting 4,000 in there. Who knows? I think we've got an outside chance with the rates dropping, so we'll see. But we've certainly got a better chance than any. And like Jeff said, with the smaller ground as well, 2,000 fans in the Vitality is a lot. It brings a lot more than 2,000 fans in like the Riverside with 30,000 people. Yeah. Because I was thinking about it, I think, well, it doesn't feel like that long ago when we'd have the odd game where we'd have 3,000 in there. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's exciting. Yeah. And just can't wait for Tuesday, mate.
I was about to say, 4,000 fans at Dean Court, that sounds like the good old days. If only we had some cushions to throw on the pitch as well, it'd be the complete experience, wouldn't it? Right. We've probably spoke about this for longer than we have any game, but it's not often that AFC Bournemouth demolish a team 5-0, so I think it's fully justified. Jeff, thank you once again for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Cheers for having me. Can't wait for Tuesday.
And Tom Jordan, once again, thank you so much.
Cheers, Sam. Can't wait for Tuesday.
So there we go. That is another podcast in the can, episode 107. As I said, it was a bit of an extended one, but it's not often you win 5-0. And the fact the fans were back, I just thought that we needed to wax lyrical about it. So we did. So Tuesday night, it's Wickham Wanderers, more of the same, please. And then we're going to be back next week, same time, same place, on your podcast app, Monday morning, hopefully, talking about another Cherries win. Until then, you've been listening to Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast.
Junior Stanislas on the ball, heading forward inside the Huddersfield half. With purpose, Junior Stanislas going past everybody. No!